I think there's a near universal experience of showing your parent a video you thought was hilarious, only for them to take it seriously and ask, is that someone from school? Or have you ever posted something on social media thinking, yeah, this is a knee slapper, only to hear crickets? Or worse, have people misunderstand you? Why does that happen? Well, if you're a youthful, hip, technologically adept person like myself, you probably have noticed, whether consciously or subconsciously, that irony rules internet humor and discourse in general.
What do you think your total is gonna be?
I hope it's under $50.
In this economy, boy, get the hell out of here, boy.
You have not been matching my fee.
Call me pure open-mind. Okay.
Oh.
The car.
I may or may not have already made a video about Gen Z humor already. Shoot, I'm being ironic myself. I gotta tone it down and be straightforward so that people don't misunderstand me. But if irony is a uniquely effective type of communication, is potential misunderstanding worth the risk? Quote, why would anyone want to use this strange mode of discourse where you say something you don't actually mean and expect people to understand not only what you actually do mean, but also your attitude toward it?
God.
Are you kidding me?
What?
It's a big stereotype.
It's called ironic. Don't you think this commercial just might be the teeniest bit racist?
It's not racist, it's satire.
There's a common view of irony that most people have, the one you were probably taught in high school English class. Irony is when you say or do one thing but mean the opposite. As Kenneth Burke, a literary theorist, put it, what goes forth as A returns as non-A. So if I say, nice weather we're having, but there's a freaking tornado outside, I actually mean the opposite of what my phrase typically means. Irony is this thing that's intentionally done by the ironist, and the interpreter simply has to uncover or reconstruct some real meaning that's hidden. But as many things in life seem to be, it isn't actually that simple. For example, there's this sound on TikTok. I probably can't play it for copyright reasons, so I'm just gonna have to say it myself. Bruh, first of all, I look good in this shirt. Second of all, I look good in this shirt. Third of all, I look good in this shirt. So tell me I don't look good in this shirt. That was so cringe. People pair this sound with videos of them wearing a clearly cringe or non-conventionally flattering shirt. At first, it might seem like the common view of irony is going on here. The person is flaunting how good they look in the shirt, but the shirt is the opposite of looking good. Except, what if some people genuinely do like how that shirt looks? That's certainly not a far-off possibility. With hashtag camp being so mainstream now, certain types of clothing such as minion merch, tight capris, and Roblox hoodies can be hard and quirky positive. Okay, so it's ironic because the person is flaunting how good they look in the shirt, making you think they mean the opposite, but actually, it could be genuinely good? Well, to further complicate things, someone could find a minion flat cap sincerely flattering, no irony involved, but they could also rock it ironically. But the ironic performance is kind of what makes it sincere, and there just is no clean way to define irony. If you look into it, there is a seemingly endless number of books and articles and book chapters written about irony, many of which present a different understanding of what irony is, to the point where theorists have questioned whether there is such a unified thing called irony at all. When someone cuts you off in traffic and you say, I love when drivers signal, you're being ironic because drivers who signal is the opposite of the driver who didn't signal. However, it's also simultaneously a true statement. I do indeed love when drivers signal. Irony challenges a direct one-to-one referential relation with semantics. Just because I say A doesn't mean I'm referencing A in a direct way or at all. What might help us make sense of the complexity of irony is to realize that irony is relational. It is always a communicative process created out of interactions. Nothing is ironic just because you intend it to be ironic. The receiver has to interpret irony there. The same goes the other way. Just because I interpret something as ironic isn't enough to make it ironic. Irony is never meaningful alone. I like Linda Hutcheon's analogy of irony to triple voicing in music. Quote, two notes played together produce a third note, which is at once both notes and neither. I'm going to get a lot more into the complexity of irony soon, but since irony is inherently steeped in social relations, that means irony is inherently political. Now, when I say political, I don't mean a certain type of political affiliation. Irony is what Hutcheon calls trans-ideological. It can be used effectively by any political ideology. It can be interpreted or misinterpreted in any direction. And that's why she calls irony risky business. For example, in a totalitarian regime where there is one set of permissible rules or norms, using irony to undermine authority is pretty straightforward. All you have to do is appear to follow the rules or norms, but not actually mean it. perhaps engage in a satirical critique of those in power. But irony is still risky, because if those in power figure out that you're being ironic, you're dead meat. More dead than if you were just to be upfront about your criticism. In a more democratic situation, where people hold different values and truths, irony is even riskier, though less materially dangerous. Quote, "Those whom you oppose might attribute no irony and simply take you at your word, or they might make irony happen and thus accuse you of being self-negating, if not self-contradicting. Those with whom you agree and who know your position might also attribute no irony and mistake you for advocating what you are in fact criticizing."
It is pronounced T-Z-T-Z-I-K-A.
"They may simply see you as a hypocrite or as compromised by your complicity with a discourse and values they thought you opposed. They might also, of course, attribute irony and interpret it precisely as you intended it to be."
Slop doesn't mean thing I don't like.
Okay.
"I went to the Met and all the art was slop."
Wait, you're calling everything slop too?
"I too am influenced by the power of fun, trendy words."
This passage reminds me of how an average comment section under a funny video on social media looks like today. For example, content circulates very quickly now, and social media algorithms also keep track of everything you watch. So oftentimes you'll watch one video and shortly after see someone making a parody of the video you just watched. But sometimes you'll also receive the parody video without any context. You open the comment section and it'll be a mixed bag of responses. Some people will have gotten the intended irony and find it funny. Some will pick up on clues that the video is ironic but not understand what the meaning is and search for the original. Some will not interpret the video as ironic at all and take it seriously. Now you might ask, well, what makes this political if the content of the humor is not political? You see, irony necessarily creates an in-group and an out-group. Those who get it and those who do not. Those that the irony is targeted at and those who aren't. That is a political feat, especially when the lines of division are drawn across politically relevant features such as age, gender, class, access to technology, and so on. As we shall see, irony is loaded with political potential, but that potential does not always play out well.
Hey, we're almost done, so we can leave soon.
Yes, I'll take you for an ice cream malted, and then we can go choose our caskets.
God, why does everything we do have to be cloaked in like 15 layers of irony?
Linda Hutchian picks out 5 elements that work to make irony happen: critical edge, semantic complexity, discursive communities, the presence of intention and attribution, and certain contextual markers and signs, the last 2 of which I will talk about as part of discursive communities. Just a note here that there are lots of different kinds of irony, but I'm going to look specifically at contemporary ironic humor. Though occasionally what I say will bleed into other types of irony, because as we have established, irony is not a very clean-cut concept. Okay. Let's get into the elements. Critical edge. Irony always has a negative critical element, so much so that the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard called it absolute infinite negativity. Now, that doesn't mean you always have to have a negative attitude when deploying irony. When you compliment the straight-A student by saying, "Oh, I'm sure you failed the exam," you're not trying to be negative towards them, but there still is that critical edge. Like, come on, do you really think you could have done bad? This is likely because irony is very self-aware. For example, in order to make an ironic skit about the day in the life of a performative man in New York City, you have to be very aware of what real performative men are like, down to the little details of what specific books and artists they listen to, the way they walk, the specific park they linger in. You have to take on the language, gestures, and practices of the thing or group or person that you're joking about, and then you have to be self-critical about it. Some theorists have said that because of irony's self-critical self-awareness, irony only engages with the intellect and not our emotions. It always puts a distance between us and the topic we're engaging with. It disarms sincerity so that we can make jokes about topics that are actually not funny at all, such as this skit about wanting to get sold at a slave auction.
That's it! This auction's over.
Oh, wow. Auction's over.
Whoa. No, it ain't over. It's not over. Well, I'm strong, y'all.
But I disagree. I think irony does create distance, but that doesn't get rid of emotions at all. Hutchian actually created this interesting diagram of the various functions of irony and their respective effect on emotions, but it's too much to cover in this video. Go check it out if you're interested. This is the book that I got it from. Semantic Complexity. Quote, With irony, you move out of the realm of the true and false and into the realm of felicitous and infelicitous. Irony can make people uneasy because it's the opposite of clarity. It enters a complicated dance between the said and the unsaid. In fact, the literary theorist Northrop Frye called irony, quote, intellectual tear gas that breaks the nerves and paralyzes the muscles of everyone in its vicinity, an acid that will corrode healthy as well as decayed tissues. Boy, he would hate being on Instagram Reels today. I want to give some examples of how irony complicates things. One, the interpreter may or may not have been the intended audience of the ironist, yet they are the one who attributes irony and decides what particular meaning is there. Can I talk about 9/11 memes here? I'm gonna bank on the fact that I can. Okay, so 9/11 memes, kind of a divisive meme. I, for one, have never, ever laughed at them before. But there are tons of other people out there who find them hilarious because they interpret the irony that the meme makers intended. And for the 9/11 meme makers, those are their intended audience. But you know how the internet is. You can't control who does and doesn't see your memes. 9/11 memes will also roll onto the screens of proud Americans who either won't pick up on the signs of irony or are too defensive about 9/11 to interpret those signs as ironic. And might I flag that irony is naturally dividing politically here. Two, the ironist may or may not succeed at communicating irony. There's this podcast called Emergency Intercom, pretty popular within a certain segment of the internet, and they recently caught a lot of flack for making jokes about Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg fell off, bitches in the gutter. Me faking sick to get out of class, me faking to be a climate change activist to skip class.
I've never listened to their podcast, so I don't know what a typical Emergency Intercom episode is like, but I saw some people defending the podcast by saying their entire humor is ironic like that. If you found it offensive, then you just interpreted them wrong. But as we now know, irony doesn't just exist out there waiting for someone to uncover and interpret correctly. Irony is a relational communicative process. It is created out of the ironist and interpreter's interaction. Even if Emergency Intercom meant those jokes ironically, which I believe they did, the fact that the jokes did not land, even with their usual audience, reveals that they did not succeed at communicating irony. The reasons for that? Well, those are political reasons. Given the current political climate in the US and the way Greta Thunberg has been risking her life for Palestine and the environment, certain signs that used to be interpreted as ironic can no longer present the same way. Three, the ironist may not have intended to be ironic, but they are interpreted as ironic. I don't know how many other people have seen this grandma on their page, but she always be having the wildest edits. My words can't do it justice, so I'm just gonna show you. Now, I'm pretty sure she doesn't mean to be ironic. She's just doing her own version of a day in my life video. But the comments show that many people interpret her ironically. If you have an Eastern European grandma who gets jiggy with their yoga ball, do let me know if these videos are on purpose and if she just has boss levels of ironic humor. I was recently in Europe, and when I was looking on TikTok, I definitely did feel a little bit of a cultural gap in my grasp of their humor. That and the fact that I don't speak Spanish or Italian. But hey, I wouldn't have even been able to watch Italian TikTok if it weren't for Sally, an eSIM service app. And no, I didn't see any Italian brain rot come up when I was in Italy.
Porco Dio, matto, matti, matta, Matteo, mattoso, elettricista, Matteo.
Those are an American creation. Sally genuinely was so useful when I was traveling because I was on a cruise ship and the Wi-Fi was $300 USD, and yet it was so slow that when I tried to upload a video on YouTube, it told me it would take 2 days. And when I tried to FaceTime people, they would literally move 3 frames per second. I could have turned on data roaming with my phone carrier, but that would have been $15 per day. Thankfully, today's video is sponsored by Sally, so I set up an eSIM from Sally and it was super easy. Also cheap, might I add. It was only $12.99 USD for 5 gigs of data. And if you scan the QR code on screen, you can get a further 15% off any data plan on Sally. They have eSIMs for over 200 countries, and they also have regional eSIMs if you're visiting several different countries. It's also super convenient because once the Sally eSIM is installed, there's no need to install a new eSIM for each country. When my cruise ship was docked on land, I used my data from Sally and boom, my YouTube video was uploaded in 10 minutes. I know a lot of people have travel plans in the next few months, including myself, and so I highly recommend downloading the Sally app for a reliable and very affordable eSIM. If you use the code OLISANVIA at checkout or scan the QR code on the screen right now, you will get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go scan that QR code. I feel like given the topic of this video, I should flag that that was a sincere sponsorship segment. Not ironic whatsoever. 100% sincere. Okay, I'm making it more confusing, aren't I? Look, a big reason why all this semantic complexity exists is because of discursive communities. Even though irony is super complex, interpreting irony is not really a matter of competence. Studies have shown that students can be really good at interpreting irony online or maybe in movies, even if they're not so great at it in school assignments. Similarly, your 70-year-old English professor is probably really good at interpreting irony in novels, but will not understand the ironic humor of these two men dancing awkwardly. This shows that what causes a lot of complications with interpreting irony is that we all belong to varying discursive communities. Discursive communities allow irony to happen. They provide context for the usual signs of irony, how to interpret the meaning of those signs, and so forth. People within a discursive community share a, quote, system of habits or rules of conduct of speech and interpretation or response. That's why, for instance, when Gen Zers, who have more than 3 hours of screen time every day, see a video or photo with a classic Snapchat filter, they have a shared system of interpretation that tells them this is ironic, rather than this is someone sincerely trying to be cool but failing. Once I posted this selfie on my Instagram story, and I obviously intended for it to be ironic because of the exaggerated filter, but there were some people who messaged me genuinely concerned, like, are you okay? You don't need all that work done. You're beautiful the way you are. I almost felt bad as if I had tricked them. Political and social beliefs, the amount of time spent online, cultural background, disabilities, age, class, interests, these all affect what discursive communities you belong to. And there's tons of overlap between these communities, and they also change a lot. As I said before, irony always involves an in-group and out-group. So whenever you use ironic humor, you rely on exclusion. Those who are excluded might feel embarrassed if they don't initially get it, frustrated or humiliated if they're the target of the joke. The emotional edge of irony makes it a popular part of politics. Irony has been used a lot by feminist, post-colonial, and queer theorists. In 2003, Valerie R. Renegar and Stacey K. Sowards even said that irony would be the appropriate unifying philosophy for 21st century feminism in general. Members of marginalized groups saw in irony the potential to tease out the contradictions in dominant norms and give a voice to people often left out of the picture. Irony, quote, denies us our certainties by unmasking the world as an ambiguity. It subverts our expectations, which makes irony unstable and risky, but because of that power to destabilize, it might also be more effective at combating dominant norms. For example, visibility has been one of the main strategies of the queer community to gain social acceptance. Rainbow pins on bags and stickers placed on the bumpers of cars, pride parades marching through the streets. The more they see us, the more they get used to and accepting of us. But some queer and feminist theorists have criticized this strategy. When you rely on visible representation, you will always use particular things to represent the whole. This is sometimes called synecdochic representation,
which is when a part of a whole stands in for the whole. For instance, when people use the word technology, they really mean high-tech or electronic devices, even though that's only a fraction of the whole category of technology. Your kitchen mixer, your toilet, your straw, those are all technology too. But those things are not represented by the word technology anymore. Similarly, the visibility strategy was criticized for synecdochic representation because it platforms certain ways of looking queer, making the public think that that's the only true meaning of queerness. What a lot of queer folk turned to instead was irony. For example, some femme lesbians have spoken about the power of appearing straight but not actually being straight. The ironic performance of straightness helps make queerness non-identifiable and uproots people's heteronormative expectations. Quote, their feminine appearances made it easier for them first to be known by people who were homophobic and then afterward to break down prejudices. Ironically, their activism could promote a sense of lesbian visibility, as by coming out, they provided evidence of the many non-identifiable lesbians that may be encountered unknowingly. In this way, irony can help build political allegiance across different identity groups, including groups that are usually in conflict. Hutchian sees irony as a political strategy in W.E.B. Du Bois' idea of black double consciousness, and other African-American theorists who have discussed signifying. Quote, irony that functions to repeat and yet to revise white discourses in which North American blacks perforce operate allows negotiation along two axes of power, the social and the mental, the public and the covert. The marginalized can be heard by the center and yet keep its critical distance and thus unbalance and undermine. So maybe that's why Key and Peele's skit of the slave auction is politically powerful. They use humorous language and gestures that are accessible to non-black audiences. They act within the norms of Western masculinity, of not wanting to get sized up by other men, in order to reveal the absurdity of slave auctions. Irony lets marginalized groups negotiate with dominant norms. But remember, irony is trans-ideological. It doesn't inherently prefer feminist or post-colonial theory. It can be used in any political direction. I think about that one trend where women would say they did something shitty that really straight men have a pattern for doing and caption it, "Women in men's fields." Many women thought this trend was really funny and clever. Lots of women joined in on it. But the same could not be said about the men's. I'm sure a large number of men found the trend funny too, but there was a noticeable amount of salty men commenting on these posts saying it was an offensive or insulting trend. Then there eventually came a hashtag men in women's field trend. Depending on what discursive communities people belong to, they found one trend ironically funny and the other insulting. Irony is a grifter, okay? She doesn't have loyalties. She can succeed no matter where you put her. There's also a pattern of ironic humor online targeting Black people and autistic people. Too many people equate being unserious with AAVE or stereotypical autistic behavior.
I think the first thing that Gen Z finds really funny is when someone not Black does the Black scent.
Making fun of how Black people talk and walk and doing a performance of what you think niggas sound like has been foundational to American comedy since like the 1800s.
Irony is good at naturalizing or normalizing what people thought to be strange, nonsensical, or wrong. As we've seen, this can help political movements, such as how it helped femme lesbians normalize their existence to homophobes. But irony can also help normalize oppression. Leading up to the 2025 American election, a lot of young people who are anti-Trump saw a lot of ironic content about Trump. Whether that was all the ironic edits of Donald Trump and Elon Musk, or Trump and Kamala, enemies to lovers edits, or joking about his speeches and how he should have been a comedian instead. The algorithm pushed a lot of people into this discursive community over and over. It ended up normalizing the connection between Trump and irony. It disarms the threat of what he says and does. People don't treat what he does seriously when they have a habit of interpreting his voice and his mannerisms as ironic. I think that contributed to the shock that many young people felt when they saw Trump win the election. They were so embedded in this one discursive community that they underestimated how many people didn't interpret Trump ironically. Irony can subvert authority so well that it can risk making people complacent. Quote, irony becomes a kind of surrogate for actual resistance and opposition. What was once an avenue of dissent is now seen as a commodity in its own right. Moreover, because irony is inherently exclusive, it's worth reflecting on who is being excluded. Who can laugh at ironic memes about whipping a child to work harder in a Shein factory? I guess Americans who live off of exploited labor in the global South can, not the child who's being exploited. Are autistic folk who tend to have more literal thinking being unfairly excluded? I don't think anybody can deny that irony is very effective for political messaging, and it's arguably the most effective tactic online. Irony, ironically, can make people trust you more, because in order to make a good ironic joke or skit, you need to understand a community to a deep extent. And for people who are excluded from certain discursive communities, it's not an end-all be-all. We can learn each other's discursive communities, hopefully with good intent. But I think right now, if you care about political action, we need less irony. Or at the very least, we need to combine this ironic political humor that we're doing with sincere political action online and offline, like community organizing, volunteering, donating, and protesting. We are at a moment in history where oppressive forces like capitalism and Meta benefit from and encourage irony. If you can never pin down someone's sincere political beliefs, then it allows people to escape accountability. It leaves us in a confused haze about what is true and who's really on our side. What someone really meant is always an open question. This allows capitalism to profit off of apparent contradictions. Disney Plus can host movies about revolution, all the while donating money to Is Not Real. Companies can sign off on sustainability policies and also dump pollutants into the ocean. Social media algorithms love to push ironic content because it keeps you using it. It makes you feel like you are being clever and subversive when in fact nothing about people's material conditions have changed. Capitalism and tech oligarchs don't filter between irony and sincerity. They just push content that is profitable. And I think that takes away a lot of the political potential latent in irony. Quote, a wholly ironic perspective ultimately proves incapable of providing a basis for collective action.
Associated with privacy and individualism, irony's disillusion of meaningful language may enable the few to launch surprise attacks on the many, but it does not offer a dependable basis for quotidian activism. Indeed, it can even lead to political paralysis on the collective level. Keep laughing, keep making funny ironic content, but don't forget to be sincere sometimes too. If you've watched my What Makes Gen Z Humor Interesting video, I'm curious to see what you notice is different from that video. video in mind, because that one was made, I think, 3 or 4 years ago now. And I've developed how I think about irony a lot since then. So you'll see in that previous video, my definition of irony was the simple one. But here, I'm like, oh, it's really complicated. You can't really pin it down as easily. But yeah, let me know what you thought in the comments. My neighbors are having sex. Anyways, thank you so much for watching. Let's keep talking, and I hope to hear from you soon. My neighbors are so loud, it's kind of hard to focus. I really hope they stop soon. Anyways, thank you so much to my Patreons for supporting this channel. Dale Angelo, Survivor Soul, Rohan Prasad, Harmony, Loic Lusignan, Pink Bowie, Horace, John C, Joseph Rachman, Bureau Fiddle, Francis X, Stefanik, ZKH, Justin Hollingsworth, Victor Pahwamba, William Bowen, Riallo, Cyrus Orion, Malpertuis, Lucas Kaiser, Farman Panu, Jiao Gong Calves, Bonzo, and Drew Singal. And they are still at it. Okay, bye!